For 12 weeks, I have been preaching these sermons. For 12 weeks, I've been preaching these sermons about meaningful media. Back in the summer, I began asking you to tell me what books and movies and songs are important to you, the things that give you meaning. And over the course of several weeks, several months, really, 57 of you responded, most of you via email. 57 of you let me know the different titles and ideas and selections that are important to you, the bits of media that are meaningful to you. The 57 of you who provided me information named 108 different selections. Your meaningful media included 34 songs, 7 complete albums, 33 books, 16 movies, 5 podcasts, 4 TV shows, 4 poems, 4 musicals, a newspaper column, and an opera. One of the things that I found so interesting is that of the 108 different songs, movies, podcasts, TV shows, albums, etc., of the 108 different songs and things that you mentioned, only one was repeated. Aaron Copland's Fanfare for the Common Man, the only thing that came up twice. I thought that two of you had mentioned Amazing Grace, and I went back and looked at the notes, and I was wrong. It was Aaron Copland. And only one writer was mentioned by two of you. James Baldwin was mentioned by two of you, but even then, the two of you who mentioned him mentioned different books. So 57 people, 108 different works, only two of them were close to each other. I thought about what that means for us, and a couple of ideas come to mind. First, I think that is reflective of the moment in which we live. We live at this time at which we have a huge number of choices available to us. Some statistics that sort of explain that a little bit. In 1975, 520 million recordings were sold. The vast majority of those were LPs and cassette tapes, by the way. When's the last time anyone bought a cassette tape? You don't have to hold up your hand. So in 1975, 520 million recordings were sold. In 2015, 40 years later, 1,210,000,000 recordings were sold. So double the amount of recordings in 40 years, and the vast majority of those were single songs or single entities downloaded to phones or computers. So in 40 years, the number of recorded material has doubled. In 2009, so just a few years ago, in 2009, there were 211 original scripted TV shows. That seems like a lot, right? You had your pick of 211 original scripted TV shows in 2009 on the networks and on cable, etc. In 2015, there were 409 original scripted TV shows. So in 6 years, the number of scripted TV shows you could choose from doubled. In 2009, 1 million books were published in the United States, more or less. 1,052,000 books were published. 4 years earlier, in 2005, only 300,000 books had been published. Now, an interesting thing about book publication is while the number tripled in 4 years, fewer books were sold. It's a strange thing. Fewer people are buying fewer copies of the same book. More people are buying fewer copies of more books. Does that make sense? All that to say, you're less likely to read what your neighbor is reading. So this meaningful media, these answers came that you have these different choices, in part because we have so many options to choose from. Twice as many TV shows, 3 times as many books, 2x as many records, those things. So we have all of these choices. I think that is a tremendous change in the world that we must think about seriously. What does it mean when we don't share anything in common with each other? An important date in history, March the 2nd, 1980. Does anyone remember what happened on March the 2nd, 1980? J.R. Ewing was shot on the TV show Dallas. And all of America wanted to know who shot J.R. And in 1980, we had to wait all spring and all summer and into the fall to find out who shot J.R. It wasn't until November the 21st that they told us who shot J.R. It was Kristen, by the way. 83 million people tuned in to watch to find out who shot J.R. on November the 21st, 1980. 83 million people sat down at the same time to watch a single episode of TV. By contrast, this season's highest watched TV show is This Is Us. And its highest watched episode had only 8.4 million viewers. It's a noticeable difference. Now, I'm not saying that either Dallas or This Is Us is what we should base our common life on. But I am saying that our media was once more centralized. We once had a more common language, and now we have all of these choices. What do we do in a world with all of these choices that call us in different directions? A second point that occurred to me as I read your list of meaningful media is that among Westmorelanders, and we're a fairly homogeneous group of people, we're not all that diverse in many ways, but even among us, there are differences of opinion, different tastes, and different styles. And so the question becomes for me, as we look at a society, at a world with far more choices, far more styles, far more things to occupy our minds, what do we do with that diversity? One of the things that happens is people look at other people's choices, other people's ways of being, other people's religious practices, other people's voting preferences, other people's styles, and they say things like, your choices are bad. Because I'm not familiar with them, the things you like must not be as good as the things I like. I've been thinking about this question of multiplicity of choices, diversity, and the fear that brings in the world. I was listening to Krista Tippett interview Yo-Yo Ma. By the way, meaningful media for me is Krista Tippett's podcast. I tell Amy all the time that if I'm ever not at home, it's because I've run off with Krista Tippett, my radio girlfriend. I hope she listens to this podcast of my sermon. Hi, Krista. She interviewed Yo-Yo Ma, the great cellist, and she asked him, as they were talking about music, she asked him the question, is there such a thing as good music? And he starts to answer that question, then he backs up and he says, no, there's not such a thing as good music or bad music. There are good musicians, he says. And good musicians, he says, do two things. Good musicians create good music from what someone might think is bad music. A good musician creates beauty from scraps, he says. The second thing that good musicians do, Yo-Yo Ma says, is they create music that can be shared, that can be given away. Good music is something that the listener wants to take part in some way. They create something that other people value. Good musicians create beauty from scraps, and they create music that can be shared because it is valued by other people. That's what good citizens do. Good citizens create civilization from junk. And there's a whole lot of junk to work with. Good citizens create civilization from detritus, from trash. And just as good musicians create music that can be shared or given away, good citizens also create values that the entire group finds to be cherished, to be appealing, to be important. Another way to say this is that we can take other people's bad choices, their strange tastes, their weird habits, their odd hobbies, their unconscionable preferences. We can take all of that that exists around us and make something of value out of them. This idea of peace cranes that I talked about with our children, that story again, peace cranes are this Japanese tradition dating back to who knows when, the idea that creating these peace cranes, particularly if you create 1,000 of them, will bring peace to your community, to your village, or to your nation for a year. And so the idea is that every year you should go through this ritual of creating origami peace cranes to symbolize the peace that your world needs. But this girl, Sadako Sasaki, some of you know that story. She was 2 years old when the Americans dropped, when we dropped an atomic bomb near her house in Hiroshima in 1945 in Japan. She was 2 years old. In 1954, when she was 9 years old, this young girl, Sadako Sasaki, began to exhibit complications, swelling and lesions on her body. She was diagnosed with what has technically been called acute malignant lymph gland leukemia. But so many children in and around Hiroshima and Nagasaki developed that form of leukemia that it came to be called the atomic bomb disease. That is, a large number of people, particularly children, developed this form of cancer due to radiation exposure after the dropping of the atomic bomb. And so this young girl at 9 years of age was admitted to the hospital where she lived out the rest of her life, and she began to fold paper making origami peace cranes. She was admitted as a patient to a Red Cross hospital. She was given blood transfusions. By the time she was admitted, her white blood cell count was 6 times higher than that of an average child. And for the next 3 years, she lived in that hospital and folded peace cranes. She died when she was 12 years of age. And the United Nations, as I said, with our children and other groups, began to encourage school groups, church groups, kids in all kinds of congregations and organizations to make peace cranes. And the idea in that UN peace crane program has been that a school or a group may make the peace cranes and then they send them to another part of the world that is in need. In this country, a group of people made peace cranes after the school shootings in Newtown, Connecticut. And then when the terrible event happened in Charleston, they mailed their peace cranes to Charleston, and then the people of Charleston, after Michael Brown was shot in St. Louis, mailed their peace cranes to St. Louis, and on it goes. And so this week I was thinking about that idea of making something beautiful out of junk. And so here's what I did. I took a piece of paper. Well, actually, I opened up my laptop. And I did a little Google searching. And I Googled some quotes from some people, just random quotes from their speeches and writing. And I just cut and pasted a few words from various people's speeches. Not entire sentences, certainly not entire speeches, just a few words randomly. I took some words from Donald Trump and from Elizabeth Warren and Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and Jeff Sessions and George W. Bush. And then I decided to go global, and so I took some words from Theresa May and Kim Jong-un. And then I decided to go local, and so I took some words from Nabucco, the Italian opera that you all sang for us, and I took some words from Amazing Grace that we talked about a few weeks ago, and I took some words from Yo-Yo Ma's interview with my radio girlfriend, Krista Tippett. Hi, Krista. And I took some words from the dialogue of the TV show Gunsmoke, which started this series. And I printed all those words out in a word cloud on a piece of paper, randomly, so that it has words like spiritual and whiskey and brief and Michelle and little and prejudices and nitrous oxide and kid and grace, all in random order on a piece of paper. And then I did my best to fold them. And some of them were absolute failures. But the beauty of folding a peace crane is when you fail, you stop, and you unfold it, and you start over. And if your peace crane doesn't turn out so good, you turn it into a boat. Because a boat is not a bad thing to have either. And then sometimes, thanks to the wonder of the internet and patience and a friend who may help you along, you create a peace crane. And it's this beautiful little thing. A beautiful little thing with words from Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton and a Verdi opera and Amazing Grace. We kind of take the scraps of life, right? And rearrange them, and reorient them, if you will, and make them into something new. A moment ago, Andrew led us in reading the Easter story, which is not the typical scripture story for this time of year. It's a story of scraps, really, kind of leftovers. There's a dead man who's gone missing, and dark mourning, and a lonely woman, and some linen wrappings, and another piece of cloth elsewhere, and a couple of people who try to race each other, and they don't understand. It's really not a whole story at all. It's a story of fragments, and fears, and pains, and pieces. And someone began to weave it together. Some ones began to weave it together, and tell that story, and retell that story, and reshape it, and reimagine it, until resurrection became the theme of the story. New life, new possibilities. It gives me hope. That idea gives me hope for the church, and for our nation, and for the world. The idea that we can take all the words, the bits and pieces, the bad words, the good words, the scraps, the leftovers, and fold them into something new, something peaceful and life-giving and beautiful. We take a little bit of this song and a little bit of that movie and a little bit of that TV show, and we find meaning and hope and value. And we shape it into something beautiful that we then give to the world as a gift of great grace and great promise. That is the Christian privilege and responsibility and task and obligation and vocation, to take all the trash of the world, our own included, and to rearrange it and reimagine it and recreate it into new life. Thanks be to God. Amen.